Welcome to the podcast Patients and Patient Organizations in ERN Guardheart On Air. My name is Diane Zwaagman. I am Guardheart Social Media Manager and your today's host. We'll be talking about on how the patient representatives involved in the network board, and to do so, we have invited two very special guests who have been involved as patient representatives in this network. Some have just been appointed, and others for quite some time. So Lorraine and Sophie, welcome and thanks for joining us. Let's get started. I have some questions for the both of you, and the first question is for Lorraine. Can you tell me and our listeners on which condition or group of conditions are we talking about if you are introducing yourself?
Hi, as you said, my name is Lorraine and I come from Ireland, and the group of conditions that I represent is the group of ion channel apathies, which are inherited electrical disorders of the heart. And in my case, I represent CPVT, which is catecholaminergic polymorphic ventricular tachycardia. And I represent this within the ERN. However, I work with all the other channelopathies within my own organisation here at home.
Okay, and Lorraine, since when did you become a patient representative in the network? And what were your main personal reasons to do so?
I became an EPAG in January 2023, so I'm quite new to this role. And as yet, I'm still finding my way within it. My reasons for becoming involved is that I have a family history of SADS, or which is sudden adult or arrhythmic death syndrome, and where a number of my young family members have died suddenly, including my 33-year-old sister. And then also some years later, her 25-year-old son, which is my nephew. So grief of this type of death is devastating for families. And I decided then that I wanted to help in any way possible to prevent other families from experiencing the same type of pain and grief as my family has.
Thank you, Lorraine. Sophie, the next two questions are for you. If I and our listeners want to get to know you, which condition or group of conditions are we talking about?
So, hello everybody. So, I'm from France. We represent in the AMRIC, so the French Patient Association, all the families suffering from channelopathies as well as for Lorraine in Ireland. So it involves all rhythmic disease for both children and adult patients and their relatives.
Okay, and since when, Sophie, did you become a patient representative in the network, and what were your main personal reasons to do so?
So in France, I started to be involved in the French Association in 2013 when the association wanted to expand from only sustaining patients with long QT syndrome to expand to all channelopathies. And actually, the reason why I was involved at that time is that we have our daughter suffering from a very rare channelopathy called short QT syndrome, and the type 2 particularly. So I started to be involved when she was 4. And then as soon as the ERN Guardheart was created, I volunteered to participate to the European network to exchange with other associations in the European community.
Thank you, Sophie. And could you also explain us why you think this is important, your involving the network board?
So particularly for rare and even very rare diseases, I don't think that we can think about borders between one country to another, because all patients really expect that all the data and all things that can be put together to increase the quality of life and to save as many people as possible, so should be done. So all things should be put together to improve the care and the follow-up of all those patients. So when I was proposed to be part of a network involving all other countries, I immediately volunteered to that, to cross borders and to be sure that everybody is working in the same direction to save as many patients as possible.
Thank you, Sophie, for this answer. The next question is for Lorraine. Could you tell us about your role in the network and how are you helping this ERN?
Well, as I said, I'm only a year in this role, so still very much finding my way. And however, I bring the perspective of the people with these conditions from my own country in Ireland, and the challenges they face, or indeed not only challenges, but what is working well or what can work well. So when the voices from all the EPAGs work together with the board, or the network, there is a forum then of many, many voices and ideas, so that when we pull all these together, we can generate many ways and methods of helping really not our own, not just only our own areas and countries, but that of everyone else. More or less, as they say, two heads are better than one, and indeed, many, many heads are better again.
That you have been also involved in a registered national patient organization within your own country. Can you tell us why this is important for the network as well for your own community?
My own organization is the Irish Heart Foundation, and I am volunteer with the Irish Heart Foundation since 2006. And I'm involved in the long QT and other channelopathy support group, and I'm also involved in the SAD support group. I think it's important also for just for the crossover of information and collaboration from our own each own organization with the ERN. And I think that it's valuable that as part of the network, you bring your own experience and what's occurring in your own country or organization, so that we can all really learn from each other. It's also good that we create awareness of our own and other groups' conditions on a European level as well. We also take back to our own organizations what is happening at a European level, so that then this can be useful information to help the people that we represent within our own countries and organizations.
Thank you, Lorraine. Can you share a good example with us? How are you doing this? For example, creating awareness?
Well, as with the fact that I'm now a year into the role, I am actually starting now to be able to get a better understanding of how I work within my EPAG role, but how the ERN will work within our own areas as well, and how that can impact both my organisation and the network. So, working together though as an EPAG, I can further support the people and provide their perspective and bring back information, such as, like, during COVID, everything sort of seemed to stop, and groups did not have the ability to meet up, or organizations within countries didn't get the chance to meet up with the people they represent. So it's a matter now of getting back and getting the information days set up within our own organizations, and be able for the people within the organizations or the patients to be able to meet face to face, which not only are they gaining information, but they're getting the support of their peers and the people within, and people like myself, So that will, help support them and help bring any concerns or issues to our attention, or indeed tell us what's happening, better. I'm also involved in research in the area of channelopathies, and this will also be a benefit to both my organisation and the network, it's hoped.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Sophie, the next questions are for you. Since you or your patient organization is involved in this network, have you seen some results so far? And can you also share a good example with us?
So first, the result that we quite immediately saw is that with the knowledge of other patient organizations in EU, it helped to particularly for the rarest disease like short QT syndrome or even CPVT to have access to other patients suffering from the same disease and to compare the care and the follow-up that the patients have access to in the different countries. Second, it's also help push the doctor, the cardiologists to work more to all together, not only in the same hospital or in the same network in France, but across the borders to be sure that the latest data are be taken into account to define the best treatment or the best follow-up for each patient. Maybe one concrete example that I can give is about the possibility that I on my own got to find other families affected by short QT syndromes, because I don't know any other family in France. And even if so far I have not been in touch directly with this German family, I could know that they are so in the other German organization involved in the network. There is at least one family suffering from the same disease, and through the UN network, I was also able to be in touch with an Australian family, because since the event got heard, so is advertising, so advertise on what is being done. It's this is a knowledge that is being available worldwide, and this Australian family was able to reach out to us. And this is the first family we went in touch with. So I guess that in this in this world of very rare diseases, so once again shouldn't be any border.
No, thank you. And Sophie, what are the main barriers that you have found so far, and how are you dealing with them?
From my perspective in France, the main barriers that we have been facing for a while is the differences and the constraints in the French overall organization for all cardiac rare disease in France, and the fact that there are specific rules that do not always fit with what is defined at the European level. I mean that if I take a concrete example, for example, there are some documentation for patients or for doctors existing in French through this French older organization, so the Filière Cardiogène. But at the same time, there was a huge effort done at the UN Guardrant level to develop harmonized documentation for both doctors and also for patients, that have been translated in a lot of different languages. And to me, that could be really of a great help, that each national, so overall organization, really takes first into account what is being done and shared at the EU level, and then so maybe add specific things in each country, but not the opposite. And so here, so the fact is that Sometimes we are facing a situation where we have some national organizations that are moving forward more or less independently from the Ehrengreit Hurt, and sometimes so it fits, but some other times it doesn't fit. So this is the main barrier I see. And the second one is that I guess there is a too high border, even mountain like the Himalaya one, between doctors and patients within the network. And so among the three axis of improvements that we just defined last week when meeting to all together in France, the one is to have the doctors and the representatives of patient associations working closer one with each other to be sure that a patient have also access to all the information, and that people can be confident about all that is being done to progress not only for themselves or each of them at hospital, but also on the research side, and also to be aware of what is being done elsewhere in a different country.
Wow. Very, very good topics you are referring to. And Sophia, can you share any tips for others who would like to involve, for example, GuardHeart and become an EPAC? And what would you recommend them to start with?
This is a very good question. I guess that the first thing is to be willing to share with others, and so first to speak English when we are not English native speakers, but also the idea to be, first is to make the link with other people in other patient organizations, to see the patient organization not with a close, so with a very close borders, but to understand the importance, so the main thing to share with people affected by the same disease, and to see as even the most important to discuss with other people to move forward smooth in a smoother way and a faster way all together. I guess that this is, yeah, this
Thank
would be
you.
the best important for me.
Yeah, thank you. Lorraine, if you can share your thoughts on an ideal collaboration between the board and the EPAC groups, what would it look like?
I think this would be where each person within the board and the EPAG groups would come to the table with one aim in mind, and that really is for the betterment of cardiac conditions and care for the people that are affected within our groups. It's also very important that all voices are heard, as in every person has the right to give their input. So when everyone works together, we can get a complete picture. We're not getting fractured pieces. We are getting a complete picture, which is coming from a patient's perspective and experience, but also then the clinician's expertise. So that when we work together, then we are creating a holistic approach, a full-rounded holistic approach to these conditions or diseases for our patients. I can actually see, even from my short time within as an EPAG, I can actually see how this collaboration is already working. And we have a great unified mindset of all stakeholders. Involved to continually improve and support people living with these conditions.
Okay, great. Well, I now have some informal questions to the both of you. I will start with Lorraine. We have read about you in our newsletter. You have a fantastic job. What can you tell me and our listeners about it?
I feel like I'm lucky that I do have a good job. I am an adult nurse lecturer at Ulster University, and this is where I teach undergraduate student nurses as part of their degree program. So we have student nurses from year one right through to year three, and then they obviously graduate then as registered nurses. So I'm very fortunate that I get to be involved in the education of the future healthcare professionals, and within the same university, I'm also a PhD researcher. So, and at the moment, I'm writing up the final chapters of my thesis on knowledge of healthcare professionals, knowledge, or sorry, the knowledge of healthcare professionals of inherited cardiac arrhythmias during non-cardiac surgery. So I feel quite fortunate.
And Lorraine, if you have any hobbies, what would you like to share our listeners anything about it?
At the moment, hobbies are nearly on hold until I finish my thesis. Because a thesis and a PhD takes up nearly all of your time. But generally, I do love all types of music, from metal, believe it or not, to classical music. I love going to choral shows, choral music and concerts. I also love reading normal novels as opposed to healthcare literature or journals, and I love films. I love going to the cinema, and when I'm not writing or anything like that, I like creative activities like painting watercolors or arts and crafts or things like that. And I like actually Ireland. We have a beautiful coastline called the Wild Atlantic Way, and it's quite beautiful. So I love walking the many beaches that we have here in my area, and just going for just walking and seeing the scenery.
That sounds very, very, very relaxed. Thank you. Sophie, can you tell us anything about your job?
Yeah, so I'm on my professional side. I'm actually for full time. R&D director for a diagnostic company, like a company like that manufactures tests like COVID-19 tests. So my initial background is a PhD in molecular biology. So I would say that was fortunate that I could understand quite quickly what my daughter was suffering from. From the genetic point of view. And then so now I'm switching to a scientific affairs director position, but so still in the same company. So roughly I love science and I like to deliver product on the market that will help as much as possible all the patients and to improve disease conditions and to by detecting them as soon as possible.
Great. And if you have any hobbies, what would you like to share?
So I have been learning to play the oboe since for 2 years now. So I'm just a beginner, but I had the chance to learn music when I was younger. So I'm going a bit faster than children, I was told by my teacher. So yeah, so I like to play with my oboe all kind of music from Baroque one to more modern one, jazz, etc. And otherwise, I like a lot traveling. So my next travel with my daughters is planned in so to Morocco, and then next summer we'll go with the family to Spain. And I already promised to Lorraine that I'd like to discover Ireland. So I will do add the island as quick as possible in my plan as well.
Yeah, can't wait. Well, that's all for today's episode. A big thank you to Sophie and Lorraine for joining me today and for sharing their experience with us. Thank you for listening, and till next time. Bye.